summary as I read through the lessons, I thought to myself, God uses those who say yes, no matter who we are or what we are. It doesn't matter what our race is, it doesn't matter our age, it doesn't matter our weight, it doesn't matter how poor or rich we are, it doesn't matter our IQ. What matters is if we say yes to the Lord, and if we say yes to God's love. And God's love, when we experience it face to face, that changes us. So God is able to use and heal and save anyone that says yes. God offers it to everybody, to absolutely all people. And God's love is what it takes to do ministry. And ministry is cleaning the bathrooms, putting out the garbage, preaching, reading, being nice to people, you know, that we meet on the roads, or, you know, as far as our driving, how we greet people each day in school, at work. It's every single thing in our life. If we emanate Jesus, that's our ministry, and that's what we're to do. Now, also in Epiphany, we learn the pattern of acceptance and the pattern of preparation for ministry. Remember a couple of weeks ago when Jesus was baptized at the Jordan River? We learned the pattern of how we prepare for ministry, how we prepare for our lives. We listen to God, we accept God, we admit that we sin, we are baptized, we allow the Holy Spirit to use us, and then we go in God's love and go with God's power and with His will in our hearts and in our minds. Then we do His will, and that is our ministry. And then we learn the pattern today of God's call, His asking us to listen to Him, His asking of us to do what He wants us to do. And it's kind of neat, I think. Jeremiah was very young when he was called by God. God said to him, but Jeremiah knew this. And that's one of the points. He was aware of God's presence. And God said to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. God consecrates all of us. That means He sets us apart for His work. That's what it means. And God's idea and God's will and God's desire for Jeremiah was for him to be a prophet. And if we notice, it says to the nations, not just Israel, but to the nations, for all people. And then here comes the good part. And I think all of us can relate to this. I can. An excuse or an objection or our insecurities start to show. Well, we might answer God, we can't possibly do what you want us to do. We might even be afraid. So Isaiah says, oh Lord, truly, I do not know how to speak. I can't be a prophet because I'm only a boy. But then the next line is very telling. He says, but then the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me, this shows relationship. And it shows that Jeremiah, even though he's doubtful and insecure, he listens. He says, don't say I'm only a boy, because you shall go to whom I send you. So God has confidence in Jeremiah. And then he says, and you will speak whatever I command you. So there we have the reassurance and the confidence of God that he gives to Jeremiah. And then he says, don't be afraid of them, because I am with you. I will never abandon you. And then the Lord, more reassurance, and then the Lord puts out his hand and he touches Jeremiah's mouth. This is that tangible reassurance that I think all human beings need. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. And so what does Jeremiah do? He follows the Lord as best as he can, and he does his ministry. In the gospel, we have the same type of lesson. And it gets a little bit more pointy. The crowd there, his hometown, Jesus' homies, were all amazed because Jesus was there reading the Bible and coming off with beautiful things to say. But he knows that sooner or later when he tells them the truth, they're going to switch what they think. They're going to say, oh, they're going to be arrogant and resentful and say, cure yourself and do what you do in Capernaum. Do it here. They were very resentful. They were arrogant. And they were also not believing that God could use Jesus. They weren't understanding that they were limiting God in how God was going to save the world. They wanted God to send the type of Messiah they wanted. They were not accepting of what God wanted in the way God wanted. So Jesus kind of could see the handwriting on the wall, and he tells them not to be so arrogant, because they were Jews. And they thought they just automatically would inherit the kingdom of God because they were Jews. And he gets very, very, this is a very touchy subject. He says, truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in their own hometown. And he said, but here's the truth. There were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, where the heavens were shut up, and there was a famine. And who did God send Elijah to? A widow, a non-Jew, in Zarephath, in Sidon. Then here's another example. And there were also many lepers in Israel at the time. But who was healed by the prophet Elisha? Was it an Israelite? No. It was Assyrian. Naaman, the Syrian, who was a leper. He was cured. Jesus is trying to tell them, anyone can be healed by the Lord. Israelites, Jews, or those who are non-Israelites, the Gentiles. Anyone that listens to God can be healed, can be used, and is saved, and is loved. So naturally they were filled with rage because they were angry. They didn't hear what they wanted to hear. And they wanted to kill him. Typical response. But what happened? Jesus passed in the midst of them while they wanted to throw him off a cliff. And then he went on his way. Did their rage or did their hate stop him? No, he was persistent. He was persistent in following God's will. And I'm sure that's why they used 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because he was persistent for one reason. He loved God, and he loved all people, including the ones that wanted to throw him off the ledge. Now, if you notice in 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of I statements. And that's what, you know, human beings tend to do. I'm this, I'm that, I want this, I want that. But what Jesus and what St. Paul was trying to do was get everyone, including himself, to go beyond themselves. And it says, what is true love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful. Love is not rude. Love is not arrogant. And love does not insist on its own way. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, and continually hopes all things and endures all things. Love never ends. The human part, the prophecies, the tongues, and the knowledge, that does come to an end, but God and God's love never comes to an end. And then St. Paul explains it. He says, because now, where we are, here and now, we only see in part, and we can only understand in part and prophesy in part. But when Jesus comes, that's the complete. When Jesus comes, then the partial, the me, myself, and I part, will come to an end. And he goes on to say, For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see God face to face. Try it. If you look in a mirror and the room is not lit, and you go up close to the mirror, what do you see? What do you think you see? You see only your own face. When the mirror, or when our lives, our hearts, and our minds, all of us, is lit by Jesus' being, his presence in us, by the Holy Spirit being active in us, when our world is lit up, when the mirror and the room is lit up, you look in the mirror, and what do you see? Every single thing that's around, we will know God fully, just as he fully knows us right now. We can only grow up with Jesus in our lives. We become an adult, a Christian adult, with Jesus in our lives, when we actually let the Holy Spirit keep us active and doing God's will. So when you go home and look in the mirror, because I'm sure you've got to have at least one, try the light on and off. And then in your spiritual time when you pray, try the light on and off. And just let God, be with us